So just to go back to, if you remember the Bible verses we were looking at there, we're going to be thinking about salvation. So we're going to be thinking about some real truth today. So the first thing to say is Christ died for you. And I'm going to name some names because we need to be clear on this. Just randomly. Leslie and Nell, Christ died for you. David Bale, Christ died for you. Sheila, Christ died for you. Charlie, Christ died for you. Everyone in here, Christ died for you. When was the last time you told someone those words or had someone say it to you? It might have been a while. So I want to have this at the beginning and the end of what we're thinking about this morning, that Christ died for you. So what I want to do is I want to expand a little on what came out of our Bible study a couple of weeks ago. When we're looking, we've been going through the book of Mark, and we got to Mark chapter 15 and the crucifixion account of Jesus. And what came out of it was a different angle than what I'd intended, but sometimes that's where we get the best conversation. So to set the scene of Mark 15, 33 to 39, Jesus had been put on the cross. And while he's on the cross, we've got some crazy stuff going on. We've got the Roman soldiers who are effectively playing games to see who's going to get Jesus' clothing. We've got a placard on the cross that reads King of the Jews, which would have been a deliberate attempt by the Roman authorities to wind up the Jewish leaders. And then Jesus, Son of God, on the cross, hanging there in the middle between two convicted criminals. And he's also being taunted and mocked by people as they go by. So I say again, he did this for you. So take a minute just to think about it, and what a horrible, bleak, and desperately sad situation. In verse 34, Jesus' words, my God, why have you forsaken me? This can be a bit confusing on first pass. Let's be honest about it. Why would you have God the Son asking God the Father why he's allowing this? Well, to answer it, let's be clear on what sin is. Sin is effectively rebellion against God. And it comes in many forms, many ways, and we're all guilty of it. Think of the first words to the hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And it goes, How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. So who's the wretch the hymn is talking about? It's us. But who's the treasure the hymn's talking about? It's also us. So I'll say again, Christ died for you. Sin's a terrible thing, and it separates you from God. So we need to not forget how bad sin really is. Let's be honest, it's easy to know what's wrong in a given situation and just do it anyway. The way we can act towards others, the way we can speak towards others. I'd argue that the root of sin is pride, because we're choosing not to do what God would have us do, as it will glorify him. And so we choose to do what we want instead, to bring glory to ourselves. And this is the heart of sin, where we put ourselves above God. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is in the context of Jesus taking on our sin. So let's be clear. Jesus was no sinner. But he did take on our sin. All the wrong things that we've done and will ever do. And he paid that price for us on the cross, so that we don't have to pay for it ourselves. We know that when we sin, it causes us to move further away from God, not closer. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when we understand how bad and destructive sin is, we can then understand how amazing it is that Christ would take that punishment for you. It's also a fulfillment of prophecy. And we've spoken about this in the Bible study quite a bit too. Isaiah 53, which testifies to the arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion of Christ. So if it's been a while since you've read that chapter, I would, when you get home, take a look at it. And then think about the crucifixion in light of Isaiah 53. Did you know that Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, is a direct quote from Psalm 22, verse 1. Again, the cross was prophetic. Looking back through Mark's gospel, as we've been doing in the Bible study, Jesus was telling the disciples this was going to happen and that he would be handed over and killed, but he would also rise again. And as we've just seen, this had been on the cards not just about 700 or so years previously when Isaiah was written, but part of God's plan from the very beginning. It's then clear to us that the dichotomy of the cross was that it was brutal, but it was also beautiful. Brutal in that it's not just the worst way to die, but to be mocked and taunted the way he was by people who didn't see who he was in the process. But it was beautiful in that it was fulfillment of prophecy. Beautiful in the fact that Jesus was willing to go through this for you. And it was therefore the most selfless act imaginable that then allowed us to become close to God. This is the biggest act of love ever known. And this is where salvation begins. Recognizing in this fact and believing this fact, because it is indeed fact. To quote verse 39, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he says, surely this man was the Son of God. He got it, and we praise God for that. He understood what it achieved and what it meant for him. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? And I don't think that we're really going to fully grasp the enormity of this side of eternity, but I guarantee you we will on the other side. Because let's not forget that following the utter darkness of the crucifixion was the utter brilliance of the resurrection. Yes, Christ died for you, and it had to happen, as it was the only way that your sin and my sin was to be paid for. And we also know from the Easter message that he rose on the third day, and so now we can be with him for eternity. So let's then be clear. We need the understanding of how bad sin really is to understand how good the sinless Jesus is. We need to look to how perfect Jesus is so we can understand how imperfect and in need of saving from sin that we are. And the cross gives you that way out of separation from God. Remember how he said sin separates us from God? Well, Christ took on your sin on the cross, and that debt has been paid, and that is the most important thing you will ever learn. So if that doesn't make you happy, nothing will. So let's rejoice in that fact. So how then do we respond to what Jesus achieved for us on the cross? In other words, how do we get right with God? To set us up for looking at the passage from Romans 10 that Suzanne read us as well, let me read the words of the first verse of the hymn that we sang at Echt Church last week. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. So to sing these words and mean them is to act out Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth you profess and are saved. Because Jesus yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in, that's what makes him Lord. I've said already many times in like 10 minutes that Christ died for you, but we can never hear that enough. And he died for you that so now you've got the freedom, you can go to him. Believe in him, trust him, and accept him for who he is, your Lord and Savior. And that's where we find grace. Notice how verse 9 says, declare with your mouth. In our joint service last week, if you were there, the prayer for the day was in front of the handout that we were given. And I want to say as well, it was brilliant to see a church full to overflowing as we had in Echt last week. And we thank Echt for the warm welcome that they gave us. The last two lines of the prayer said, that God may be glorified and Christ revealed in all that you are and in all that you do. Which is absolutely true, and it's the right attitude to take. But I would add another line at the end of that that would be, in all that you say. If you're a Christian, you have to publicly declare it. Because if we're not willing to say what Christ has done for us, then we're definitely not willing to tell other people what Christ can do for them. And the message of Christ crucified is the most important message anyone will ever hear. And this is also the message we as Kemeny Parish Church have to take to the world. And it's a message that it must reside deep, deep within your hearts. It's the second part of verse 9. If we don't believe it, then we won't confess it. But if we do believe it, it's too important not to confess. So I want you all to just roll with me for a minute here, because we need to be used to confessing what we believe. And I want you all to repeat after me if you're a Christian. Also, if you truly want to follow Jesus, then we'll say these words together. And it goes for anybody, if you're watching online, and it goes for our friends at Littlewood Court right now as well. And if you're not there yet, don't worry about it. I'm not going to pressure anyone into saying something they're not comfortable with. And I intentionally say yet, because God will work in you in his time and not mine. So we're going to take Romans 10, verse 9. We're going to make it personal to ourselves. We're going to take Paul's words to us, and we're going to make those words our words. So repeat after me. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. So if you said that and you really believed it, and you meant every word, then the Holy Spirit is within you and you are saved. Why? Because verse 10 tells us, for it's with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. When Paul talks about your heart, he's talking about the absolute core of your being, body, mind, and spirit. And if you genuinely meant what you just said, then right now you are right with God. Think about how that makes you feel. It's joy, it's a burden lifted, right? How could it possibly be anything else? Don't you want that for everyone that you know and everyone that you don't know? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. So, let's be clear on a few things. Going to church in and of itself will not save you. Being a good person in and of itself will not save you. Putting others before yourself in and of itself will not save you. But confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead does. And if we think back to the Roman soldier in the Mark 15 passage who watched Jesus die on the cross, he confessed it out loud and he believed it in his heart, and we are to do the same. Today's Pentecost Sunday, if you weren't aware of that, where in Acts 2, the apostles were in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them the ability to speak the saving good news of Jesus to all sorts of people in all their different languages as well. The apostles confessed this to the multitude of people and believed it from the core of their being. So when we take these verses of Romans 10, 9 and 10, this is the message that we've got for the world. We need to bring the good news of what Jesus accomplished on the cross to the world, because it's good news to a broken world, and we all know that the world is a broken place. We just need to look around us, look at the news. We know what it's done for us, so we should naturally want that for other people too. If you can remember a month or so ago, when I was up here last and I spoke about unity in the church, well, that unity's got a direction, and the direction is Christ. That's where we want to point people to. If a church isn't willing to use its God-given gifts and talents of its people to point people to Jesus, it's going to surely die out. I also said last time that we're going through a tough time in the Church of Scotland with the presbytery planning process. It's tough, for sure, but we can't let it take away from the purpose for which we exist, and that's to glorify God and tell the world about the good news of Jesus. If we keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts fixed on Christ and him crucified, and be willing to share that message in a spirit of unity, love, and humility, then we won't just get through it, but we will see God do great things here. And if we do this, then we're going to see our church grow in, firstly, maturity, and also in numbers. So be encouraged. Think back to the first moment when God took a hold of you and you gave your life to him. Remember back to how you felt, what you experienced, and what it meant to you. And on reflection, the enormity of what was happening at that time. Think about where you are just now. Do you still have that excitement? Have you lost some of it and do you want it back? Someone will have told you at some point Christ died for you. It might have hit you instantly, or it could have been a slow burner over time like it was with me. Remember I said back at the very start, I will begin and end with the message that Christ died for you. Well, this is the message we've got for the world. And it's the amazing, humbling, joyous message of truth. And let's be clear that it is truth. And it's truth that we have to share. So again, I say, Christ died for you. Amen.